morning, everybody. The House State Affairs Committee will come to order at 5 minutes after 8. And we have with us this morning Representative Peterson, Representative Wilson, Representative Gruenberg, Representative Johnson, Representative Gatto, Vice Chair Seaton. And this morning we have only one bill to be heard, and this is, I think, the second hearing on it. Is that correct, Representative?
Second hearing this time. We heard it in the last legislature.
Yeah, okay. So, if I may, we heard it last session, and we heard it once before here, right?
We heard it 2 years ago in the 25th legislature.
Oh, okay. So, this is HB 76, and the subject matter in general is proportional representation on the Legislative Council and Legislative Budget and Audit Committee. And if there's no other business for the committee right now, we'll open a hearing on CS for House Bill number 76. And with us this morning, welcome. We have our own Representative Gruenberg and the Minority Leader, Representative Beth Catula. Proceed if you like.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think we've discussed this before, and as the members will recall, the bill simply provides for at least one member of the minority on the two committees, LB&A and Ledge Council, providing that the minority has at least 25% of the total House membership. So, for example, in the Senate, where there are only four, this wouldn't apply. It would apply here, and it's in the matter of simple fairness, because some 22 years ago, when the Republicans were in the minority and they requested proportional representation on all the standing committees, the Democrats complied. And these are just the other two committees that were not included. Still, that wouldn't be included is the Armed Services Committee, which I don't think works the same as other committees, and we've specifically not put that in. I don't have a problem if you want to do that.
You said Republicans had was a minority? I think minority. All the standing committees, did that include? I guess it would be. This did, in fact, include LB&A and Ledge Council? It did not.
No, because these are.
What happened on that? Because we do have it on the standing committees, right?
That's correct. The standing committees are the committees that act independently in each House and are under the uniform rules. The joint committees are statutory. Why they're statutory, I don't know. That's an issue that's lost in the reliquary of time. But
that's a good word.
We only have that was from a Supreme Court decision. I thought it was a good decision. We only have these two committees that are of any substance where the rule of fairness has not been applied. And as a practical matter, I don't think it would make much difference now on the LB&A committee, but it would on Ledge Council starting next legislature. It doesn't apply this time, but it would give us one more seat, or who's ever in the minority, one more seat on the Ledge Council.
Okay, any...
And by the way, that's fair, because sometimes it's hard for the member to get there, it's nice to have a couple people on a committee of a size of seven, frankly.
Okay, any questions around the table? Representative Wilson?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess because, and I'm actually thinking about what could happen, and it used to be that majority and minority were parties, you know. So, but now they're not anymore, and so it's possible under this scenario that one party could fill all the seats just about because of the way the our makeups is. And so I think we have to be careful of that.
Do you wish a response?
Pardon?
Would you like a response?
Yeah.
Yes, that's why she asked the question.
I'm sorry?
Yes, that's why she asked the question.
I didn't know if you were finished.
Yeah.
Okay. Good question. Let us say we're dealing with the Senate, which is, I think, an example, possibly. The minority seat would be from the party, because they're Republicans. Theoretically, I suppose, if the members of the majority who wanted to be on that committee were only Republicans, that could occur, but it would be the will of the majority. the Democrats would be putting the Republicans on that committee and would have agreed to it. Because the, in this case, just by the nature, and I think it would pretty much always occur, that if the minority were of one party, four, and there were 10 Republicans in the Senate, that would mean of the 16-member majority, the members of the Republicans, only six, would be outweighed by the Democrats, 10. And if the Democrats put all six of the Republicans on that committee, I don't think that would occur, but if it did, it would be because they would have the, they have to have pretty much the unanimous vote of the Democrats to do that.
On this point,
Representative Seaton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This was my question to be answered last time, and that was my concern, and the answer was that in, on page one, the last line there, starting B, is where it, we didn't just in this bill eliminate the parties because they are now contained in section B, so there would have to be one member of each party as well as the majority. So I misinterpreted, and that was my question last time, that, or misread, that you wouldn't only have one party, but that has just been moved to section B, so that requirement is still there. And that was my concern with the bill. So just
thank you. Representative Gatto.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. There is reference at least twice in here of the two major political parties. That's an awkward phrase for me. If indeed we have 15 and 15 from the 15, 15 and 10. So we have two major political parties. I'm a little worried about what happens. We have the two major political parties, but we don't have one in the lead. So does it upset any of the proportionality when we have a tie for two major political parties, and then we have the third party that will be clamoring for their share of representation? And in the extreme, it could be 19-19-2.
Through the chair. The major political parties, of course, there's no question it applies to Democrats and Republicans.
Well, wait a second.
Representative Gatto?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. No question?
Right.
Are you able to speak for the next 20 years?
Well, I'm talking about unless, I mean, certainly if we get to a situation where one of the parties dies out, then there would be a new major party. But what we're talking about are major parties as opposed to minor parties, and we've gone through definitions of minor parties, you know, in Title 15 and stuff, getting them on the ballots and things. The only time we've had, I would say, in the last 25 years, anybody who's not a Democrat or Republican in the legislature was in the 14th state legislature when Andre Maru represented the South Kenai District. But I don't believe that we've had anybody else since. Yeah, but I think he was before that. Even when he was appointed?
Mm-hmm.
He was appointed as a Libertarian?
I think so.
I thought he was appointed to replace Don.
Well, let's just kind of keep it. Let's help our people keep up with this.
Okay. Sorry.
We don't have side conversations here.
Sorry.
I don't care. I find it interesting, but it's not fair to our folks that are trying to keep track of this stuff. Representative Seaton.
Well, and Mr. Chairman, I just point out that in Section 1, that's the existing law, is include at least one member from each of the two major parties. So that's existing statute that is being moved to Section 2. So if the language is problematic in this statute, it's problematic in our existing statute. So are we under committee discussion or?
We're still hearing here. Yes, I guess. Go ahead. We'll discuss. Cuss and discuss right now.
Okay. And Mr. Chairman, it seems like that this has come about because the organization of the legislature has somewhat changed, and the function of parties and affiliation has somewhat changed, and we're recognizing that we have majority and minorities that are mixed in both houses. And so it seems to me that this legislation, although, you know, it's sponsored by the current minority party, minorities and majorities mix around, and as we know, in the majority, now there are members of the, you know, two different parties, and in the Senate, it's much more even than that. So I guess my concern is that, you know, things change all the time. Doesn't seem like, even if there was a total political split so that all Republicans were in the majority and all Democrats were in the minority, this wouldn't complicate that at all, because there would be one member of the minority or a proportional number, but that would also be of the opposite political party. So I don't think that this complicates things, and I think it recognizes that the legislature has mixed more than, or may be mixed in the future, or it may be more separated in the future, but I don't think that this complicates the situation for appointment of members based on party.
I was just going to ask, is anybody on this committee on either the alleged council or the LBNA? You are, or who? So two of you are. When the time comes, I know you can, but you're not the chairs, either one of you, right? So I was hoping that the chairs of these parties might have, not of the committees, might have come in and weighed in on this as a practical matter, even though if this does pass, it wouldn't come this legislature, but still they would have some insight, and maybe you two folks who are on these committees might have some insight. Let's go back to, are you next? Okay, Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thanks, Representative Grunberg. You have a bill now that's, I think, HB 288, that says any party that has 2,500 members registered, regardless if they vote or not, becomes a political party.
Right.
So if that passes, when it passes, because you are a skilled legislator, when it passes, that means 2,500 people can sign up for a party. Someone gets elected from three or four different parties into a different district, where are they in terms, what would they be in terms of a minority party?
Through the chair. They would not qualify here because unless they elected enough people to be 25% of the body. That is required here. If you look at page 2, lines 6 through 8, and there's similar language with respect to the LBNA on here too. That's on page 3, lines 8 through 10. They'd be the same situation as the Republican minority in the state Senate is currently. They only have 4.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. What happens if we have 26, 7, and 7?
If we had 20...
Add up to 40. So we don't have the two major parties anymore. Where's the conflict now? I mean, there is a conflict. How does... Can we resolve the conflict with the existing statute?
If there were 26, 7, and 7, then... neither of the 7-member parties would qualify as a minority. Each of them would qualify as having entitlement to one, which would be the same as if they were a single minority party. So there'd be a total of 2 from the minority parties. It would be minority parties rather than minority party. I'm talking on the 7-member committee here.
Follow up?
Just didn't know. You know, it's existing language, but we say the two major political parties, and clearly we don't have two major political parties.
Oh, I see. I'm sorry. Excuse me. I stand corrected. Go ahead.
Well,
identify yourself, please.
Yeah, thank you. My name is Beth Grutula. I'm the minority leader, and I represent District 3. Thanks for letting me answer. I think the way that works out mathematical through the chair to Representative Gatto is By definition, the two major political parties are Republican and Democrat. So you're always assured to have one Democrat, one Republican. But under the statute, as it would be changed, unless you have 25%, you wouldn't have representation. So if you've got 26, 7, and 7, you'd still have a Democrat and Republican. Mm-hmm. You wouldn't have the third party because they haven't hit 25% yet.
Can everybody repeat that back? Okay. Representative Seaton.
Yes, and Mr. Chairman, you know, I think we'd be in one of those conundrums where we wouldn't have either of those parties if two different parties, and we'll assume it's the Democrats and the Independent Party, only had 7 members, they wouldn't be 25%.
Right.
And so they wouldn't be, they wouldn't qualify under that provision for membership if they, for the minority, unless they organize together. And if they organize together, then there would be, as a minority, it is regardless of party. And the status of which of those 2-7 would be identified as the majority party would probably be a, you know, statutory fight at the time.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Grunberg.
Two things. First of all, if they were faced with, I'm going to say the second thing I was going to say first. As Representative Seaton said a few minutes ago, there's no change because that's in the current law here. I mean, that's a conundrum in the current law. I think the people probably, when they drafted it, didn't consider that possibility, and I don't think it's likely to occur in our lifetime. But I would think, just practically as a politician, if there were 26 in the majority party and 2 minority parties of 7 each, and they were faced with no seats on Ledge Council, they would form together as a minority party. At least certainly for the organization, they could vote differently, but for the organization, they'd band together and they'd give each of them, because then they'd be entitled to 2, and they would informally divide up, one would get one and one would get the other. That's what I would do, and I'm sure that's what you would do if you were in that situation. I'm saying you, being anybody, would do that. I think that's what would happen.
And Mr.
Representative Seaton?
And Mr. Chairman, I don't think we should assume that. We might have 7 of those members join in the majority.
Oh, that's true.
And be left with the situation that we have in the Senate. So, you know, I think that flexibility for future distributions and how people at the time decide, I don't think we can solve those okay. questions now.
Representative Garno?
Lastly, in statute, it refers to Republican and Democrat as major political parties, or is that a...
I don't believe it does. I can't recall seeing it. We could check with Ledge Legal. I can't swear everywhere in the 47 titles. I don't recall ever seeing it, though, Representative.
Yeah, I don't think it does. That, you know, changes. Anything else?
No, thank you.
Representative Catula, you have not really commented on the overall bill itself and what you like, what you don't like, and so on. Could you give us kind of your spin, especially as minority leader?
I'd really appreciate the opportunity before you vote just to say a couple of words. You know, I've been the sole minority member on legislative budget and audit, and I can tell you it is an incredibly difficult task. And
to be the sole,
to be the only minority
representative
member.
Of the
minority. Right.
How many members?
Just, I'm sorry.
How many members?
I'm trying to remember how big is LBNA. It's a large committee. Is it 9? It's 10. Okay.
That's what I thought. Yeah.
And I don't think anyone in this room wants to do without minority representation on either side of the aisle. It's incredibly valuable, not just because of it being me in that case, but because that's really at the heart of our democracy. And what's happened over the years is kind of an incredible shift into these skewed numbers. We seem to be pulling back together And, of course, we have the coalitions now, which seems to me to be more Alaskan than anything, where people care about the issues a little bit more than they care about partisan politics. But it's just one of those things where the shoe is always going to be on the other foot at some point. And in my mind, this brings us a little closer to fair, a little closer to moving the numbers to where you actually can have a true minority representation. You're never going to have, in the present number situation, you know, a really skewed vote, I mean, on the minority side, but you will at least have a stronger voice. And I think that's a good thing. You know, we in the minority, you know, kind of fantasize about what it would be like to be in the majority, and I'm hopeful if the shoe goes on the other foot that we remember this. So no matter what happens today, I guess you have my, you know, commitment to seeing this happen if the shoe does go on the other foot. But I just ask you to think about those times in your life when you've been the only person in the room from your party or your point of view, and to think about it, and think about the fact that this is just one small step in what I think is the right direction. Thanks.
Okay. Representative Peterson and Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was just wondering if we could word the line that says include at least one member of each of the two major political
parties.
Could
you get a line and page number, please?
That's on page one, lines 9 and 10. Could we just say one member from each of the two caucuses? Would that solve the problem?
Personally, I wouldn't think so, because caucuses are more fluid typically than parties are. The caucuses come and go, and for many people, changing your party is like changing your religion or something. Representative Johnson and Representative Wilson, what was it on that point?
Yeah.
Oh, yes, you have?
Because I've got to go to a subcommittee meeting, but I would like to make the comment, and the reason I feel pretty strong about this is because of Ledge Council, because something happened on Ledge Council, not this year, but in the past, that I think the majority of the people on the council felt was wrong, but the chairman wouldn't allow us to come back together to work on it. The chairman was in the minority party. And I just thought that it was outlandish that it happened, and that's what makes me a little concerned about this, because we were not allowed to go back and rethink a decision that we had made when we probably should have, but the chairman would not allow that to happen. So that's why I feel very strong about it, that we have to make sure that we're wise in what we do so that we don't get ourselves in that type of a situation again. So,
sometimes difficult to separate what a particular chairman does as compared to what a committee does or what the representation is. It may have been this individual person, whoever it was. Representative Johnson and Representative Seaton, was it on that point?
It was on that
point. Go ahead, on that point then.
And I think, I know the I recall the situation, but I think it wasn't that the chairman was a member of the minority. The chairman was a member of the majority, but he was of a, it was a coalition, and he was of one particular party. But we shouldn't get those two things confused, because he was the chairman obviously was a member of the majority.
Okay. Reverend Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I want, just on the record, a couple of things, if I might. This in no way will affect standing committees or our uniform rules. They will not have to become statutory, or the standing committees will not have to become statutory under this.
Through the chair, this is Gruenberg. The answer to that is absolutely yes.
So standing committees will now become statutory?
No. No, I'm agreeing with you. You put that in the negative.
Oh, okay.
They will not become statutory. And I have no idea, honestly, why these two committees are statutory. They've been statutory since I started here in 84. but before that, and I don't know why they did that, frankly.
My second, if I might, is a hypothetical, if you'll help me work through. Let's assume that tomorrow, and we're under this situation, that our finance committee is made up of the two co-chairs would be Bill Stoltz and Representative Jules. They're required to be on the committee as chairs. Mm-hmm. Representative Jules is a Democrat. Mm-hmm. And let's take it one step forward. Let's say that it's Representative Jewell and Representative, for hypothetical purposes, Salmon, who joins the majority. Are those your two minority members on this council, and then you have no really coalition members that would be on the committee?
That's you. Go ahead.
Through the chair, I don't have the numbers in my head, but I mean, it would still be, if Representative Salmon left and joined the majority, then he'd become the majority under the numbers, and the minority would have to go down to, do you have 25% of that total House membership left to be able to have a member on the committee? I mean, it takes into account.
This really has nothing to do with party, then. It has to do with coalitions.
It has to do with both, through the chair. It has to do with, you've got to have one member of a majority party. So you'd always be assured one Democrat or one Republican, whichever. And then the figuring goes into whether or not there's a coalition. I think that's right. Whether you have 25% of that minority is what becomes important.
Thank you, Representative Gatto.
Is there a difference between the majority and the majority party?
Through the chair, yeah, we're kind of mixing it. I would say, you know, the majority of the, you know, what, here's dangerous ground, but you know, the caucus that's controlling the majority. You now, in our House majority, have three Democrats, but they are part of the majority. So you have to have 25% to be able to have a member. That's where that number comes from. It recognizes Alaskan history since, you know, long before any of us served. The second thing, though, that's, I think, real important is you will always have one person of either party.
Yeah, the reason I asked is because, let's say all three of those people that are Democrats but a member of the majority party are seated. I see an issue arising because we don't want to mix majority and majority party. We probably want to use party in there more than just majority without the word party. Because if it's just the majority, it's the coalition. And if you want to make sure that the minority party has representation.
Well, through the chair. This.
Representative Grunberg.
Thank you. The way the thing is working now is that it requires that there be, the only thing that's required is that there be at least one member from the Democrats and one member of the Republicans. How the internal mm-hmm. makeup of the group is done is up to how, you know, how the appointments are made. And that's basically from the majority. I mean, you know, if you have a minority, it's usually from the same party, like in this case, Democrats. Today, the makeup of Ledge Council, the other six members could be three Democrats if the majority wished to appoint them. That's up to the majority. The majority will still have the right under this bill to determine who they put on the council. The only difference would be is that instead of only one member of the minority political party, there'd have to be two. Now, you have proportional representation. It could be more if we had more Democrats.
Representative Satan.
Yeah, on that point, I agree with Representative Gatto that you should not be talking about majority political parties, and this bill does not talk about majority political parties. This bill talks about major political parties, one from each of the major political parties, and the other is majority and minorities regardless of political parties. So that is as the organization of either house is. So I think that your point is exactly, as I read it, exactly what is the major political parties is the way it's written. And we shouldn't confuse when we're talking about parties and majority and minority, because they're two separate issues and they're both encompassed in B.
Any other questions for folks here? Would you have any closing remarks? First from minority leader and then to the sponsor of the bill.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. It's just an effort to try to come a little bit closer to fairness as we see it. And I want to say I agree with what Representative Seaton just said in terms of the breakdown in terms of majority political party versus members of a group that makes 25% or more. Thanks.
Thank you. Sponsor of the bill, Representative Grunberg.
Thank you.
One of the prime co-sponsors.
Right. Because this is really and has been for the last, we've put it in three of the last four legislatures. It's on behalf of the entire minority. And we appreciate your hearing it. And we hope that regardless of how you feel about it personally, you'll let the bill advance, because this is something that's of fairness. And I think that it may be possible to come up with some kind of a hypothetical, I haven't heard it yet, where this wouldn't be fair. I haven't thought of anything, and it's to go the other way. And it's simple to operate. We do it right now on this committee and every other standing committee. There's nothing new about this. And it will show, number one, that the 26th legislature is fair, and number two, that the political parties can work together for the good of the state, and that the majority and the minority can work together for the good of the state. I think the public in Alaska and in the country really wants politicians who can work together and not get stuck in gridlock. And this is a small but important step in that direction. And regardless of how you feel, I hope that the bill can advance. Thank you for hearing it.
Thank you very much. Appreciate your testimony. Appreciate the question. If you'd like to come back up here, do we have anybody in the audience who would like to speak to this bill? Do we have anybody online who would like to speak to this bill? Do we have the chairs of these two committees who would like to speak to the bill? And we, two of the current chairs, and we do not. I just wanted the record to reflect that.
Mr. Chair, I can say, and correct me if I'm wrong, and he probably will, because here is, might be listening, I don't know. But Representative Harris said he supports them.
Okay. With that, I'll close. Representative Johnson.
Mr. Chairman, I don't think that I was ready to let this go, but having heard that last statement, I'm not prepared to let it go until I hear from the chairman of the committee now. I'm not comfortable with having Representative Grunberg speak for the chairman of the committee.
I'm not.
If you want to retract that, I'd be more than happy, but if...
I'll strike that.
But I have to assume that everybody on this committee speaks honestly when they make a representation.
Mr. Chairman, I would, if I might, yeah. And I in no way want to impugn Representative Grunberg. Sometimes we don't, and I'm particularly bad about this, hear what we want to hear. And it may not be the intention of an individual to say what I wanted him to say, or I heard what they said, so I'm just uncomfortable with someone speaking for someone else. Now that he's retracted, it's comfortable. But I want to be real clear that it wasn't a front.
We're not going to have a back and forth here.
I shouldn't have said it, and I stand corrected. Thank you.
I will state this bill, as other bills, has been properly noticed. The chairs of those two committees know about this bill. I've made an announcement on the House floor every time this bill has been scheduled, and the door is open basically to anybody in Alaska who wants to come here and speak to the issue. If there's no further, I'm going to close public testimony. We'll go to committee discussion. Thank you, Representative. Any discussion on the bill? Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I do not intend to slow this down, but I do want to point out that the makeup of the committees today are 8-4 and 8-6.
Would you do that again, please?
That the makeup of the committee.
The two committees in question.
Two committees that are in discussion, the Ledge Council and LBNA are 8-4 and 8-6 is the makeup of the committees today, minority and majority, both House and Senate.
Yeah, and that's good, but I think this bill is probably looking to the overall picture, not only today, but for the next umpteen number of years, how political fortunes may come and go.
And I understand that, but I wanted to point out that today we're operating under a fairly fair system, that the system may not be broken, I understand, trying to fix this. And if I've counted wrong, then I'm just, it happens, because I'm not on, this isn't the Finance Committee, but that's the numbers I think I see here.
Representative Seaton, and then Representative Peterson.
And this was really a question in the discussion. Was that 8-4 and 8-6 on party or?
Party.
By majority, minority?
Party.
That was by party. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Representative Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. If I'm not mistaken, I believe it was mentioned earlier that there were 10 people on the committee. So if we have 8-4, our numbers are not adding up somewhere.
That included the alternates, which are split between. I put the alternates in the 8-4, Mr. Chairman, just as I was going down and counting, but they're one of each, so it.
I was going to add the alternates are representing one of each party.
Right, right. So the proportion would be the same, just the numbers, the alternate in there is different.
Okay, thank you.
I've never served on either of those committees. Representative Grunberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Number one, that's assuming that the Democrats who are in the Senate and the Democrats in the House vote in the same way, and I'm not at all sure that's the case, particularly if some are in the majority and some are in the minority. And secondly, I don't think it's fair to lump the alternates in there, because you can never have an alternate, let's say in the minority, who's sitting on it when the principal is there. So the minority, in that case, on either of those committees, doesn't bolster the minority numbers. We cannot consider the minority, and I'm just pointing that out. The alternates.
And Mr. Representative Johnson.
Just for the record, then I'll say that Ledge Council is 7-3, and Ledge Council is 8-6, and LBNA is 7-3.
Thank you. Representative Peterson.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. I have a question then. So the alternates are there in case one of the members of the committee is ill or absent, or they're there in case a member of a committee, say, gets promoted to or gets appointed to another position and his representative position has not been filled? Or when do the alternates get to attend those meetings?
I don't know. I would assume just when some member can't be there for whatever reason.
For a vote. Okay. Just wondering.
Okay. Any other discussion from the committee?
Representative. Just on that point, we also have an alternate on the Ethics Committee. And I've served as the principal from our side on the Ethics Committee. And that is strictly by party. It's not proportional representation on that. And the only Representative Garra was my alternate. And I had a conflict because I had a request before the committee. And I stepped aside for that. And he sat on the committee.
Okay. I think we're at any other discussion. I think we're at a decision-making point here. What's the wish of the committee? Representative Johnson.
One other thing that Representative Grunberg said, and I agree with him 100%, is that you cannot determine how someone will vote based upon their party. And I agree with that 100%. And I once again, I know you weren't inferring that a Democrat would vote with the party as a block, nor with the Republicans. That is also true that a majority member in the committee would necessarily vote with the majority if it wasn't the right thing to do.
Sure.
Okay. Thank you.
I have personal experience not voting with my party.
So do I.
Okay. Representative Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would move CS for HB 76 from committee with individual recommendations and accompanying zero physical note.
Mm-hmm. Is there any objection? If there's no objection, this moves from committee. I'd like to thank those who came to testify here and the thoughtfulness of which this committee has worked this morning and in previous meetings, and I'm looking for next week's schedule here. Okay, once again, I have to disappoint the committee that we're not having a meeting on Saturday, but we are scheduled Tuesday to hear HB 241, I think it is, that involves divestment in Iran, and that's sponsored by Representative Gatto. And for the committee's information, on Thursday the 11th, I have an overview scheduled with AIPAC and invited guests, which includes the Department of Law, on the potential impact of the recent Supreme Court ruling on Citizens United case. And I would point out, even at this time, this is not to debate the pros and cons of that decision and how we individually may feel on that decision. The decision is there, like many other Supreme Court decisions, and we have to determine how to deal with this. And I want to find out particularly if any legislation from somebody is needed before the upcoming elections in August, which everybody and uncle is running for something, and it's right around the corner. Is there any other business to come for the to the committee? If not, thank you for your service this morning. We are adjourned.